Good evening. I'd just like to again welcome everyone here this evening and just like to mention two of the meetings of the week. Youth group is resuming again tomorrow evening at 6:30, and then also in Rosebank this week there are children's meetings each night, and they are at 6:30 p.m. in Rosebank. And then again next Sunday, Lord willing, 10 a.m. is the breaking of bread, Sunday school at 12, and gospel at 7. We're going to read in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read the whole chapter. So we're going to look at quite a bit in this chapter. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Whence art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I've been thinking of my own story of how I was saved, and I was thinking of when I was bothered about my sin, and I never really thought so much about it when I was young, really. What sins I had before I got saved. But just thinking about it recently again, I was thinking, I was a boy of 8 when I was saved, and I came to all the meetings that my parents could take me to out the road here, the little hall in Springfield West. And I used to think I was a good kid. I didn't really hurt anyone or hadn't killed anybody, or I tried to be honest for the most part. I know I lied to my parents a few times, but I didn't. I only remember disobeying my teachers up to that point, maybe a couple times. And yet, I was a sinner, and the sin probably that I committed the most was just a simple sin of disobedience. And we have that in this chapter. God said that they could eat of every tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we read about some of the consequences of that sin, and I'd just like to look at them. So perhaps, friend, tonight in this meeting, little boy, little girl, there's a few kids here, and some of you aren't saved, and maybe you haven't committed any great sins yet in your mind. You haven't killed anybody, you haven't robbed a bank, maybe you haven't even stolen anything. But yet, you're a sinner, and you've definitely disobeyed your parents, disobeyed God, and that is very serious. Adam and Eve, they were put in that Garden of Eden, and they could enjoy of everything in that garden, except for one tree that God said they couldn't eat of, and yet they disobeyed and ate of that one tree. And it's tremendous consequences. For before they disobeyed, before they had sinned, they were going to live forever. And also I was thinking too of how ironic it is, even having 4 children myself, first thing one of them does something wrong, and you talk to them about it, and they blame it on the next sibling, and then that sibling blames it on the next one. And we had that here. The serpent really tricked Eve he just basically tried to change what God had said into tricking her to take the fruit, questioning what God had said and trying to make her believe that it was something different. And it worked, I guess, because she did question what God had said, and she took of that fruit. And she ate of it, and then she gave it to Adam. And then we read, we'll read it again, verse 9. So God was walking, and they had hid from God because they knew that they had sinned and they were naked. He said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest eat, not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And then the Lord God asked Eve, and then she blamed it on the serpent. So just always passing the buck. So Adam and Eve, they sinned, and it was tremendous consequences as a result of this sin. We read there in verse 16, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." So probably before this, had she had children, it would not have been a painful endeavor, but now we know that a woman giving birth, that's a lot of pain they have to go through and sorrow, and that's the result of sin. "And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And perhaps before this point, men and women were equal, and now there's all these advocates for women's rights. They want to believe they're equal to men. And we're not saying that they're not equal, but they want to think that they have just as much authority as a man. And right here, as a result of sin, we read from God's word, the Bible, "Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." So they were put below the man. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Any of you ever, I'm sure quite a few here have gardens, and probably the first time you put a garden in, you thought, oh, it'd be so easy, I'll just plant the carrots and the onions and the potatoes and the corn and the peas, and I'll just get to look at it every once in a while, and it'll grow so well, and come later in the summer, I'll have all kinds of vegetables. Yet if you don't do anything with it, it'll be overtaken by weeds and thorns and thistles, and that's the result of sin. This is all the result of one sin that Adam and Eve committed in the garden. You ever out working in the summertime in the heat, and you're sweating and you're thirsty and it's so hot, and you perhaps you're almost at the point of fainting? That's the result of sin. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. And the greatest consequence of sin is death, not only physical death, but eternal death. And here we read about physical death. And he says to Adam, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Probably everyone here has been to a funeral home, knew of someone who passed away. And they go to the funeral home and they see that body, just a lifeless corpse in that casket. And then after the funeral, they put that casket in the hearse and it goes to a cemetery where a hole has been dug and they place that casket in the ground. And if you were to dig that up in 100 years, all that would be left would be bones and dust. Just dust. That's where we come from, and that's where we're all going. And for those who are not saved, you will never see eternal life, never see heaven. So I just plead with you children here. There's different ones here, and you're not saved. Have you ever considered your sin, the sin of disobedience, just simply disobeying your parents, and the consequences that has? We're going to turn over to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers 32. Verse 23. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Perhaps you have managed to hide many of your sins from your parents or from teachers, from people of authority. Even us as adults, we disobey and we do things and we think we can hide it from other people. Even something as simple as coming here tonight. I know I was speeding, I was going above the speed limit. Even on a snowy road, doesn't seem to bother me too much, but really that's sin. We kind of laugh about it and joke about it. And perhaps nobody found out. We didn't get caught by the police. But even that is sin, and God knows about it. We can read in another portion that God is writing everything down in a book. He has a book with for every person that has ever born into this world, any person that ever existed. He has a book and he's recorded everything they've ever done. Every sin. And for those of us who were saved, he blots it all out. and he chooses to remember it no more. But for those that don't trust his son, he will keep that book until the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of the great white throne that we see on the chart behind me. And on that day, for those who have not trusted his son, he will open those books and he will read the sins that are in those books. And that's how he will justly and rightly send you to hell in the lake of fire. This is serious, friend. And that's why you need to consider these things and to realize that be sure your sin will find you out. Ye have sinned against the Lord. We've been hearing already about the Lord Jesus and how he is the mediator between God and man. And he has done everything to save you from your sin. You don't have to do anything just to trust him. We'll turn over to 1 John chapter 1. These two verses that the one that I've just read and the one I'm going to read shortly, these are the ones that spoke to me the night I got saved. First John chapter 1, verse 7. The last part of the verse, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So we read earlier about our sin that is against the Lord, and he knows every one of them. But the tremendous thing about this verse and the good news of the gospel is that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died at Calvary 2,000 years ago approximately, the power in that blood cleanseth us from all sin. All the work for us to go to heaven, to be forgiven of our sins, was already done 2,000 years ago at Calvary, and there's nothing left for you to do but just to simply trust him. We were singing the hymn earlier, only trust him, only trust him. He can save you now. So, friend, tonight in the meeting, we would pray that as you sit here, you would realize your sin and the tremendous consequences of it, and that it's taken you to an awful place called hell in the lake of fire. But the good news of the gospel is that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. He can save you tonight in the seat where you're sitting. You don't have to speak to a preacher or come up to the platform. You don't have to pray out loud. Just simply, in your heart, tell God that you have sinned against him and that you accept his son as your savior. And you could be saved and lay your head on the pillow tonight, knowing that heaven is your home. May God bless his word.